Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are with us. Walk among us. Make us aware, keenly in tuned to your presence as we open up your word. Help us divide it correctly in ways that are God-honoring. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and hearts that are yielded to you. And Lord, help us ask ourselves the hard questions that this morning may bring to us. Man, Lord, we love you. We couldn't be here or do this without you. In fact, we don't want to. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. But I guess you guys already knew that. Hi. You know, it's so different being up here than out there, just so you know. Just in case anybody else has to do this someday. I'm hoping by the music, you've kind of gotten an idea of where this is going. Because I wasn't trying to be sneaky. I was just trying to lay it out there for y'all. And I would be wrong if I didn't tell you how this thinking in me started to be challenged. So, as you all know, or most of you probably know, I'm in seminary, and so I drive up to Denver now one day a week. Next semester will probably be two. And so during this drive, I could listen to music, and I do, but it's when I talk to God a lot. And I try to listen a lot because I go up 83, and well, there's not a lot to see. And so I was wrestling with a very simple thing. And I know this is going to sound funny, and that's okay, but I don't necessarily mean it funny. It was a very sincere question that I asked God from my heart, that I later asked Suzanne. God's answer was completely different than hers. Fortunately, God's response was completely different than hers. I'm driving and I'm praying. I'm like, Lord God, how is it that, Father, I can leave everyone I know, everything I know, sell everything I have except what can fit in just a few suitcases. I can go to Africa. I can be there. I can love it. But God, if there's an open bag of potato chips, I cannot walk past it. Right? And so I'm like, Lord, how come I can have so much faith to leave everything I know, to leave my country, to quit my really good job, but I can't walk past a bag of potato chips? Wow. Suzanne laughed. I'm not sure she thought I was serious, but it really vexed me. Because, you know, why can I trust God for the big things, but I need to sort of eat my way through the little things? See, because God's supposed to handle missionaries. That's God's job. But he's not necessarily responsible for seminary students. Is that how I think? One of the things I want to kind of show to you, and where I want to challenge us this morning, is that we behave what we believe. I can say, I believe in God the Father. I do. Right? I can say, I believe in a lot of things. I believe that if I believe that God can handle my finances. How does that affect my generosity? I believe that God can do lots of things. How does it affect how I behave? So now the chair is here, because it's going to annoy me, so I got to do this first. Because I'm going to need to move it so I can pace. So the chair is here. So here's me. I'm coming up. I want to sit down. I look at the chair. Looks soft. Looks high enough. Looks sturdy. Okay, I believe the chair can handle it. I sit down. I act the way I believe. Right? But man, I go to the doctor and I get news that I don't like. All of a sudden, my experience or my fear or my emotion becomes where I start acting out of. You see, because God doesn't leave me. He doesn't forsake me. He is always with me. He always wants my good. But do I believe it? Do I act in that way? The sermon message is, Jesus rose from the dead. Now what? Okay? Go with me if you have your Bibles to Romans. Mike, I probably picked more than what I gave you. Pray for those guys, because I'm not easy to work with. Seriously. Just ask Mike, he'll tell you. And he's telling you the truth. I'm going to start at verse 5. Romans 8, 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. Woohoo! I'm sure we all want to rush there. But the mind set on the Spirit is what? Life and peace. When all is said and done, where do most of us want to live? Right there. But what is the contingency? Your mind is set on the Spirit. Oh. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, if it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What? However, my favorite word, next to approved. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Who is he talking to? You. Those of us who have Jesus, or if I may, those of us who are in Christ. You, me, we. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, okay, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness. Exactly, because I can't get it right enough ever to be made righteous. But the main hit of this verse, and where we're going to camp some today, is, but if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, will also give your mortal bodies life through his Spirit who dwells in you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Ooh. Let's talk about this. Have you ever once said, have you ever heard, have you ever thought, have you ever felt, if only I could have been one of the disciples who walked with Jesus. If only I could see him and touch him. I would think I could get this Jesus thing down so much better. I think I'd get a better look. If I had a person I could follow. the God of the Old Testament by cloud, right? Give me a cloud, Jesus, give me a cloud. Give me a fire. We have God very visible in the Old Testament. We have Jesus when the church is just getting underway. And what does Jesus say in John 16:7? It's good for you that I go away. Why? So the Holy Spirit could come. Jesus hasn't left us. We have inside of us the Holy Spirit. It dwells. If you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:16, later on in this same chapter, it'll tell you that. How do you know you have the Spirit? Because His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're saved. Now, what is the Spirit supposed to do for us? If you flip over to Acts, I'm getting excited. What is the Spirit supposed to do for us? Flip over to Acts, where you'll look at the Acts 1 through 11. I'll pick and choose out of here. But the Spirit is brought on us. Number one, it confirms that we are God's. It is comfort. It is conviction. Ooh. It is guidance. The Holy Spirit has full knowledge of God. And that dwells in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Okay. Mike, let's flip to the cross. Saints, I need you to listen carefully, because my goal is not to diminish Calvary. We need it. We need grace every day. Right? It was the blood that was shed that guarantees or provides healing. Okay? Right? Jesus, God Himself, made it up. He made the rule that there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. That was His rule. We need the cross. But I think sometimes we get really comfortable staying there. I think we get really comfortable. See, because have you ever said, you know, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I do it. Have you ever found yourself at 7-Eleven just running in quickly, and then all of a sudden four bags of potato chips jump into your basket? You still to this day don't know how that happened, right? Yes. We live in grace. I think sometimes we swim in grace. I think sometimes we've made grace really cheap. I think we forget that we are called to be holy. Now, Robin, how am I supposed to be holy without Jesus? You're not. But at some point, ladies and gentlemen, Robin also needs to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and put the potato chip bags back. Right? Most of the time we'll say, Jesus, here's this impossible situation. And we're really good at leaving Him the impossible situations, because our plan B through D didn't work. So now we have to move straight to, must be God's problem. He's going to have to handle it. Why is that the last? You see, because we act like we believe. What do you believe? Do you believe that no weapon formed against you can prosper? Do you believe? Do you act that way? How is your behavior? You want to know what you believe? Look at your behavior. Growing up, my youth leader, he said it all the time. He used to drive me crazy. Two things he used to say. Sadly, I remember them both because they drove me crazy. Garbage in, garbage out. I happen to enjoy my Bon Jovi and my rock and roll. Garbage in, garbage out. Absolutely. Used to drive me insane. He's right. But at 14, I really didn't want to hear that. But the second thing he said is, Robin, show me your friends. Show me what you're eating. Let me know what you're watching on TV. And I can tell you your priorities. I can tell you what's important to you. Oh. I didn't appreciate that either. But may I suggest to us as adults, where are you spending your time? How are you spending your time? How are you spending your money? What are you putting in? I'll show you your priorities. You see, this whole, we don't have time to seek God first. As a general rule, we seek God last. I'm busy. I've got things to do, people to see, places to go, vacations to have, books to read, papers to write. We tend not to seek God first. Because you see, we act or we behave how we believe. What do you believe? We have the Spirit inside of us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 specifically, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And a lot of people view this, and then I did as I was growing up, that this is a special empowering of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I see it as a special empowering of the Holy Spirit anymore. It is the power of the Holy Spirit to do what you need to do. It is the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God has called us to do, which, by the way, is to go out to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's just not my call. That's your call too. That's to us. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, how are we living? Guys, we have a power. We are not just victims of our circumstance. There is a power that dwells in us to be able to do that which is right and good. But at some point, we need to yield to it and obey it. I could say, Jesus, I know you want me to be happy and well. Jesus, I know, well, he never said he wanted to be happy, but I know you want me to be healthy. I need you to just fix this mess. And I'm just going to walk in faith believing as I'm heading out to McDonald's to get a Big Mac. Right? We hear the absurdity, but we live it every day. If the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, how does that affect your living? What do you believe? Do we believe it? You see, I think we spend so much time at the cross. I need grace. I stink. I can't get through this. Mike, can we go back to that? To the empty? There we go. That we neglect this. What's that? It's an empty tomb. It's an empty tomb. It is the power, right? Because without this, The cross is nothing. Right? Because if Jesus just died on the cross, he died on a cross like any other dude the Romans decided to crucify. This is where we need to live. Y'all, I'm not suggesting that we put the cross in the rearview mirror. What I'm saying is, if I may borrow an educational term, we need to start applying ourselves to this thing called holiness, to this thing called righteousness, to this thing called obedience. It's easy to just ask Jesus to come on, take it away. But at some point, I need to cooperate. At some point, you need to cooperate. Isn't it fascinating that nobody wears a necklace like that? Right? Yet, that's where the power, not that the cross is not powerful, please hear my heart. I'm not suggesting. What I'm saying is, we camp in a pool called grace, and we allow ourselves an easy out because we stay there. We go, it's okay, I can say whatever I want, however I want, to whomever I want. I can eat whatever I want. I can spend my money, right? Because why? Jesus has forgiven me. Yes, he has forgiven you. But even Jesus himself moved from the cross to the tomb. And from the tomb to heaven. He didn't stay. We need to remember that we are and we have grace. But at some point, beloved, we need to apply ourselves to this living out our faith. We need to move from the very comfortable pool of grace, not to the extent of not dealing with grace, but we need to move and we need to start peeking into that open tomb. Every morning, I wish we all would just take a second and go, thank you, Lord, for the cross, but wow, thank you for the empty tomb, because there's where the power is. Thank you that the grace has covered my sin. In fact, if you look at Romans 8, therefore now we are under no condemnation. Brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, the sin issue is taken care of. But we still have work to do, and we just can't go, yeah, well, it's all good. Jesus paid it all. I'm good. I'll just chill. I got my fire insurance. I'm ready to go. Did Jesus pay it all? Yes. All to him I owe? Yes. But I need to be busy with the help of God's grace, applying the truth of what I believe, what this word tells me is true to how I live every day. And I got to tell you, it's not convenient. Loving my enemies is no party. Keeping my mouth shut when I'd rather not is truly an act of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take that kind of power to just go, Look, for me, it's potato chips. What is it for you? There's someone here I know, it's chocolate. And I love it because they go, it's dark chocolate, and a doctor says that's good for us. Right? Because ain't no doctor going to say, have a bag of potato chips, Robin. That's good for you. But it's okay for dark chocolate because, well, that's good for us. Do you see how we play? Do you see how we play? I've often told you that, again, I want you to just imagine, if you will, another chair right here. And in this chair is Jesus. And this is kind of how I'd love to run my life. All right, you take care of this. I'm over here, I got this. You know, the attitude that this individual has really makes me unhappy. Do you think you can just go convict them? Because I think they would hear it better from you. I don't really believe you want me to say it exactly that way. See, I want to share. I want to exercise my sense of control. I need to wind up, I'm sorry. But this is just so... I want to exercise my share of control. And if you remember in the song we sang, What a Beautiful Name, which is a personal fave. There is, what is it? The end, the bottom. Nothing compares to this. What is he? Yeah, no, but what does he say? What do we say? We all sang it this morning like we meant it, I hope. My God and my King, which means he's the only one that gets a seat. He's the only one that gets a seat. How you living? How you believing? What's it going to look like for us as Grace Community Church to say that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells right here in us? What weapon formed against us can prosper? What attitudes or sickness get to have a stronghold? I mean, Jesus raised from the dead, for heaven's sakes. What are we going to be guilty of not trusting him enough for, saints? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And he dwells in me. The Steve Camp song, I Will Not Be Overcome. Why? Because I'm all that? No. But because Jesus is all that. Does it mean we're not going to have hard times? I think each one of our lives, we could go, yeah, that's not the case, Robin. I know that for a fact. Yes, you do. But what dwells in us is the Spirit of the living God. What do you believe? How are you living? What are we doing? Are we walking in victory? Jesus dwells in us, y'all. The Spirit of God dwells in each one of us. Let's pray. Lord, first remind me that you have no equal. My life circumstance, my situation, my current frustrations, A, are not news to you, or B, not too big for you. Holy Spirit, remind me to get out of your way and to engage and obey in how you're leading and guiding me. And now, Father, I pray that for everyone here, for Grace Community Church, for the church universal, that Holy Spirit, we would hear and know that you are with us and we will engage you as we walk this out, that we would not be so comfortable with grace that we don't ever live in the power of your resurrection. Amen.